have no ulterior motives. You just want to DJ.
I wasn't getting paid or anything. I didn't care about that. I was just like, I'm here to learn the artistry wristband that you get as like a ticket, as the way you get in. Took it off and I wrote, I am a DJ. And I stuck it on my wall. And it's still there.
I saw that you had a 10-year anniversary post of you mixing for the first time, right? Yeah, how'd you get into it?
So I enjoy telling people the origin from this place called Art Street. It was basically when I was in middle school, there was this place in our town called Art Street. And Art Street was like the teen center. It basically ran a bunch of fundraisers for businesses. And they had a board where they would do different events for the town. They did like the turkey trot for Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And then for middle school and high school, every Friday and Saturday, or like every other Friday, Saturday, they would have like a middle school dance or like a high school dance. And every time they did this, before me, there were other DJs that would do it. So like when I was in sixth grade, I was like, oh my God, I get to go to Art Street. This is crazy. Like, this was the thing to do. So sixth grade rolls around and I go to Art Street with my friends and we're all like, you know, we show up, we're dancing, whatever. And everybody else is dancing, but like, I'm having a good time, kind of like dancing on the floor, but the whole time I'm just like, oh my God, there's like some kid DJing. Like, this is so sick. I'm just like, I'm looking up at it. Because everybody kind of wanted to be something growing up. Like, you know, it was like your singers, your astronauts, your race car drivers. I was like, I'm going to be a DJ. Like,
I'm going to press buttons.
I'm going to press buttons.
And I'm going to be pretty good. I'm going to be pretty good at it.
I'm going to press buttons. I'm going to do a little shimmy. That's what I was going to do. And so when I showed up to Art Street and everybody's dancing, I see these like high school guys DJ and I'm like, yo, this is crazy. This is insane. So I would stand there and I would just kind of like look up and be like, oh my God, like this is nuts. Cause growing up, my dad worked for a radio station and he was in sales for that, for iHeartRadio. So we would go to a bunch of like concerts and stuff as a part of like his family, like just traveling with him. So I would see these bigger DJs like, you know, Avicii and before he passed, and David Guetta, we got to meet. Tiesto was hilarious.
That's
like
cool.
just people that like, just as a kid I was like, this is crazy, like this is super cool. And then I go to Art Street and I'm looking up at this like high school kid and I'm looking at him as the same way that I'm looking at like Tiesto or David Guetta, because I don't know any better. I'm in sixth grade, I'm just like, oh, people push buttons, this is crazy.
And so they make a living
off
pushing buttons. Yeah.
So I'm like, the first event that I went to, I went and I'm like dancing with my buddies. I look up and this guy, Lucas De La Bata, I didn't know him at the time. He sees me like looking up at the DJ stuff and he was like, hey, you want to learn something? And I was like, oh my God, like, are you serious? So he pulled me up on stage. I walked up like these four little steps. It's not really that much of a stage. It was like climbing Mount Everest. I was like, oh my God.
Here we go.
You know, Rocky, when he's like, yo, know why you're climbing these steps. Made the buzz. Yeah. I was like, yo, I'm climbing into this ring. This is crazy. I walk up the steps. I'm like hanging out with Lucas. He introduces himself to me. His buddy, Will Tawfield, was also like DJing, just kind of on and off with him. They taught me how to turn one knob, and it was the filter knob. And it basically makes the song go whoosh. Or woo, it's called the low pass filter. And that entire time, for the next like 3 hours of the rest of that event, I just stood up there going whoosh woo, whoosh woo, whoosh woo, whoosh. And it pissed them off so much. But like Lucas could tell that I enjoyed it. Like he could tell that I was like super into it. So he just kind of let me, like, they would play a song and it would be some random part of like some random chorus and like right before the beat drops or whatever. And I would just be like whoosh woo, and he would just get pissed. But it was great.
This guy accidentally changed your life.
Yeah, no, 100%. I went home that day and I took off the wristband that I had, like the Art Street wristband that you get as like a ticket, as the way you get in. I took it off and I wrote I am a DJ, and I stuck it on my wall and it's still there.
Wow.
Yeah, and I like, that's what I've been doing since then. So I used to, after that first event, I would come back like every event that they had. I was like, oh my God, Art Street's coming up again, let's go. So like 2 weeks later, I go back, and every time I went back to Art Street, my friends would dance and we'd all have a good time. But I would go up on the stage and Lucas and Will would teach me a new button. So I was like, the second time I went, I learned how to use like a crossfader. Like I was like, oh my God, this is sick. Like I now know what this button does. So I was like, all right, I got the filter, I got the crossfader. And then I go the next time, they'd be like, all right, this is how you use like the bass. Like you can turn off the bass to like adjust how, what song is like dominating when you're mixing. And that like, that baffled me. I was like, oh my God. And then the fourth event, I keep going back and I'm learning all these new things. Every single time I went, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was building a foundation for what would be what this has become. Like, I was just learning every individual knob for 2-3 hours, hanging out with my friends, with these guys that I just met. I was like, oh, they're high school kids. This is dope. Seventh grade rolls around. Like, I go away for the summer. I come back, and the art streets are still, like, you know, they're fun. So I'm going. And at this point, I got, like, Lucas and Will's number. Like, they're texting me and whatever. First event of seventh grade, I go back. And same crowd, same usual people. I, like, go up. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I haven't seen these guys in 2 months. And they're like, hey, like, the whole staff, we all have a gift for you. Like, after, just come down to the studio. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, that's, all right. I don't,
fine.
Yep. That's awesome.
Measure, yeah.
I didn't think anything of it. So I DJed, and I'm going whoosh woo the whole time.
Along with the other nine buttons
with the,
you've learned.
Yeah, 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 I got my nine buttons. after the event.
Which is kind of a lot of buttons, actually. At that point, you've, like, built up an arsenal at that point.
Right? I got, like, my Hungry Hippos at home, and then I got my, like, you know, CrossFader and Woosh Woo at our street.
Woosh Woo went crazy.
Exactly.
What'd they give you?
So I did the event, and then afterwards I come downstairs in the studio, and it was, like, the whole staff, and they're all, like, surrounded this big, like, black crate, and they were like, it's for you, buddy. Like, open it up. I opened it up, and it was Lucas's old hand-me-down Newmark NS6, which was like a sophisticated DJ board. And I opened it up, I broke down. I was like, this is, like, the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. I just couldn't believe it. And they were like, yeah, man, this is for you. Like, this is for you to, like, carry on, practice, and get better.
That's incredible.
I took it home, and I downloaded a software on my mom's computer.
Not advisable. Yeah,
exactly.
With caution.
Yeah. So I downloaded it on my mom's computer. It's called Virtual DJ. And I hooked it up, and I have selfies as, like, a literally, like from 8 years ago on Snapchat memories that'll come up. It's me in my living room or, like, on my kitchen counter with my mom's computer and this Newmark NS6. And I was just, like, learning how to do stuff. I was learning how to, like, download songs and preload them into playlists. I was learning how to, like, organize my playlist based on, like, BPM, which is, like, speed and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, once I got those foundations down, I kept coming back to Art Street, and every time I came back, I'd be like, I can try this out. Like, I did this at home. I did this in my kitchen. Like, let me try this one. And I tried, like, different transitions, and some wouldn't work, but some would. And when they would, Lucas would look at me and be like, yo, like, that was
the trick.
What? And then this other guy, I absolutely love Dexter. Dexter was another guy.
Oh, you talked about Dexter.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So Dexter started working at Art Street with us as well. Dexter Frisch, he went to Greenwich High School, and he was, like, in the public school as well. So he would start DJing. Him and I would do some sets together, like, when I was at Art Street. I would text Kyle, who was the manager of Art Street. I absolutely love him. And they would, like, organize who was working that night. And I wasn't working. I was just volunteering my hours. I didn't realize that. I was just doing it because,
like,
I was
these,
like,
guys,
oh,
are getting paid.
Yeah, I was like, these guys are doing, like, what? I had no idea. I was just like, this is sick. It never was for money at first. And, like, I'll get to part of that later. But what was it? Dexter and I started doing, like, sets together, and the same thing. I would do something, like, right, and he'd be like, yo, that was dope. Or whatever. It was just super cool. I met, like, just older guys that started hanging out with me because I knew how to push buttons. And then in eighth grade comes around. I go away for the summer again. Eighth grade comes around, and Lucas was like, hey, do you want to, like, come with me to some of my private events and, like, see what it's like or whatever, and I could just, like, help you learn some more stuff about, like, the business. I was like, yeah, sure. So we would do, like, he would have a graduation party at some, like, high school, and mm-hmm. he would pick me up the afternoon before. I'd be, like, you know, eating pizza with my family, and Lucas, like, swings by. He's got, like, all the speakers and set up in the back, picks me up, drives me to this random school or whatever, and we would do a 3-hour set, and half the time I would just be standing there watching him, and the other half I'd be like, he'd be like, all right, try this, and I'd try something. It was super cool. Like, I wasn't getting paid or anything. I didn't care about that. I was just like, I'm here to learn. This is super cool. Like, some high school kid wants me to go to a private event and like, this is nuts. It was sick. And he would do it all the time. It was a really nice one. And the car rides there and back, he would, like, expose me to music that I'd never listened to.
Right.
Like, house music was foreign to me. And in those car rides, he'd be like, no, you got to add this to your playlist. So I'd add that, and I'd just start listening to more stuff.
So you get a little bit of every genre
in
your mixes.
Yeah.
Try to. Okay.
Art Street, I mean, I never came into those sets going like, all right, this is going to be a rap one, or like, all right, this is going to be an EDM one. Like, I would just be there, and I'd play, like, Mo Bamba when it was crazy. and everyone would be like, yo, this is sick. And I'd be like, all right, you know what? This one went dope. Let me play, like, 45 minutes of more rap. And it would work. And I, again, didn't realize this at the time, but when you start playing open format like that, which is what we call that in the DJ world, if you play like basically like more songs you hear on the radio, like rap, pop, that's considered open format, songs that you can like sing to. I would be playing that for like for an hour and a half, and then I'd be like, ah, you know what? I want to hear some house. I would play. I want to hear some EDM or just some like Pitbull that like was low key like house because the bass is like super heavy and it's 128. But I just learned all these little things. Anyways, in ninth grade, Lucas and Will, they graduated. They went off to college.
Right.
So I was no longer looking at like these guys that were working at Art Street. Kyle was hitting me up, and he was like I was the guy. So all these kids are coming, the middle school events, the high school events, and like high school events, we'd have crowds of like 400 kids from my local public high school, or like just all the school systems in town, and I would be DJing for like a 4-hour set and just kind of like tell my friends to come. Most of the time they didn't want to come because Art Street wasn't seen as like cool.
Right.
But I'd show up, and for the crowds that did go, it was cool. It was like just kind of like the thing to do at the time. So Dexter and I started doing that for the next like 4 years, 5 years, because I repeated my sophomore year after I had like a bad ski race crash, so I was in a wheelchair for a while. Switch schools.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Throwback.
Yeah, so yeah, I had 5 years in high school, and that whole time, the first 2 years, I was still volunteering, and then after COVID hit, everything shut down, and when I got back to Art Street, Kyle started paying me as an employee. Because he was like, you're the guy that we're going to go to for all our events. Like, I'll write you a check for whatever you do. And that was it.
Right.
I didn't realize it at the time, but everything that I'd done in the years past from sixth grade to when I started getting paid in like junior year of high school, all went down as volunteer hours. And mind you, Art Street is the longest running nonprofit in the country. And they are known in the community as this like crazy, crazy good, like for the community, like just unbelievable organization that like helps people and fundraises, and it's just they do a lot of great stuff for the town. So that was part of the reason I got into Boston College. I applied with like 500, 400 actually. Volunteer hours at the longest running nonprofit in the country. Imagine writing an essay on that. Like,
yeah,
I
it was
had
pretty
no
good.
Idea
yeah.
what I was doing. I was just learning buttons. But for me, and I was just like, oh, this is cool. Like, I enjoy it. This is fun.
The wee-woo makes a lot, a lot more benefit
yeah,
now. Yeah,
yeah. And then I get to my college advisor in junior year, and he's like, well, how many volunteer hours do you have? I'm like, I don't know. I text Kyle, and he's like, 400. I'm like, all right.
Put it down.
Because it was just fun. I didn't ever thought of it as anything close to volunteer. It was something that I was appreciative to have. So then when I got to BC, the first semester, I didn't want to take DJing anywhere. I wanted to come to BC, and I didn't want to be known. All my friends back home give me shit for, I'm sorry, I don't know if I can curse.
You say whatever you want.
All right, cool.
You know it's sticking to you, though. Yeah, like we're disassociating.
my friends back home would give me shit just for right. DJing, like because that was my thing. I love it, but at the same time, I didn't want to be known as like just the DJ kid coming to college. I wanted to like meet new friends and everything. So when I came to college,
which is perfectly valid. Like, yeah, it's perfect. I did the same thing with the podcast. Yeah.
So the first semester I came and I didn't bring my stuff. I didn't know how I was going to get into anywhere. Because once you lose the connections back home, it's like, all right, like where do I go from here?
Right.
And then second semester I brought my stuff out. I got a connection with Fenway Johnny's, and this management company, called Love Thrill. Love their whole team. They're hilarious and they're so much fun to work with. But I met them. I did one event for them at Johnny's, and the guy, Shane, came up to me afterwards and he was like, hey, that was great. Like, we'll have you back.
That's crazy. How did you get in contact with Love Thrill, by the way?
I went,
I guess wider question, how did you kind of break into the Boston scene?
Yeah.
Hey y'all, thanks for listening to the video. I'm gonna send you right back on your way in a minute, but we had a little cut in the filming, so I'm gonna take this opportunity to thank a couple of people. Thanks to the entire Dean's List podcast team, Ethan Foreman, Nick Vittoria, and Teddy Crowther on marketing, Mariam Abdel Halim on promotional creation, Lena Gerster for executive production, Ben Haddad for video editing, and Will Glyman for being the best button pusher I could ask for. Thanks again to all of y'all's, and enjoy the rest of the video.
I was out with some friends, and I ran into one of my old hometown friends, this guy Matthias Liu. A great guy. I hadn't seen him in a while. He goes to Northeastern, and I ran into him, and he was a promoter for like the local bar, Femme Johnny's, and through being a promoter, he was promoting for Love Throw, like, because they have a partnership. Mm-hmm. So I basically got the contact of Shane through Matthias, and then like started DJing. And after I did one event, which that's the hardest thing, getting one event in a new city. After I did one event, it was like, all right, you're pretty good at this. Let's like, we'll hire you back. I ended up doing 6 events for them, and they added me to their team. And then after they added me to their team, they've hired me and this girl Max that actually transferred to USC. So now I'm the only DJ for them.
Okay.
But not like they're only, like they go to other people.
Right. Only DJ BC here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So any event that they had like a Sunset Cruise series. They put me on the Sunset Cruise.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I DJed
cool.
on a boat. That was fun.
Yeah.
And then I did Johnny's most Fridays. And then coming in this year, I did Johnny's like every other Friday. I do a couple other places that they would set me up with. I did Nash Bar, which was super fun. I got into Hava, which is great. Hava's fun. Hava's really great.
I've never been there before. Yeah. I'm sure it is.
And then, after that, every time I go to a place, every time I enter into like whatever new environment I'm DJing for the night, in the same way that Lucas and Will and Dexter were so inviting to be like, hey, like, here's a connect. You don't realize it, but here's a connection. Like I didn't know that at the time. That was a connection to like help me learn, be mentored. I didn't even, like, I just saw him as like, oh, this is a DJ.
They don't teach you that early on, that like just making friends is connections.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be trying to reach out to people for the sake of it.
Exactly. So when I went to like these new environments in Boston, I'd be like, all right, I'd walk in and I'd be like, okay, I got to make connections. Like, I got to just, the same way that like, I didn't know, just be friendly, make connections. So I always talk to people when I get out, and like, it'll be like a DJ that's working for me or opening for me, or if I'm opening for somebody, or like a promoter or somebody that's like just handing out free stuff. And I'm like, all right, you're probably someone.
Right.
I DJed for,
you seem nice.
Yeah. I DJed for Cannabis Week in Boston at a pickleball bar. And I was I forget the name of it. It was, I honestly have no idea.
Pickleball bar.
Isn't that awesome?
Pickleball bar. I love pickleball.
And there were like 2 local rappers in Boston. It was like Cousin Stiz and someone else who came, and they didn't perform. They commentated on the finals. It was hilarious.
On the pickleball finals?
On the pickleball finals. They had them mic'd up.
That's a fun event. Yeah.
But like all of those, like there'll be activations going on, or there'll be people in like the clubs or the bars or whatever. I just talked to like whoever, and I... recently over like the last semester, I got a great connection with like, through this guy, DJ Fortune, Jack, one of my, if not my favorite person to DJ with. He's so like, he just brings the energy. He's fun as hell.
Is this the back and forth guy you were mentioning?
Yes. Him and a couple other guys that I've met, like, are fun to DJ, but Jack, like, our sets work and it's fun. But he like put me in contact with some of the guys from Game On. And through that connection, now I'm working with them a lot. I've done like most Saturdays since we've been back, for second semester, which is great.
You've been busy. I know that much. Yeah.
I had one week where I worked Valentine's week. I had dates for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Like on my weekends now, I'm just like, I just work. And the crazy part is like, it didn't start as that. And that's part of what DJing has become that I'm trying to change. I used to be so excited to be like, oh man, like I get to learn this. I get to know this. The thing that sucks about DJing right now, if you have a name, you're a DJ. If you have a name, you can be a DJ. Cody Ko made a great video about it, and it's my favorite video on YouTube. It's how easy is it to be a DJ? Okay. And he makes a video where Cody Ko is a very large social media presence. Right,
yeah. He's been around for a long time now, actually.
He didn't know how to DJ. He called his, like, local bar or local club or whatever it was and was like, hey, I'm learning how to DJ. Can I DJ for you guys in, like, a month? Like, do you have any openings? And they were like, yeah, we can get you in for a gig. They got him in for a gig. They made him a flyer. Dylan Francis helped him teach, teach him, which is crazy.
That's a good setup there. Yeah.
But like within those 3 weeks, he shows up to the club and it's packed. It's insane. Like now he DJs at bigger places because he can. And obviously connections through Dylan Francis helps. Names like, I mean, Shaq's been doing it for a while.
We saw him.
DJ Diesel.
We saw him at Lala.
He's been doing it for a while.
What's your opinion on this?
He's been doing it for like a decade. Okay. Like, he's pretty good.
So what I'm hearing is you've been doing it longer.
I don't play like the same music that he does, but I've actually like he's pretty good.
Okay.
Paris Hilton, Summer Rae. There's other people.
They all do this.
What the clubs and bars are looking for nowadays is not talent. Obviously you are. You are looking for people that know what they're doing and that can actually DJ. But for the base level of DJing, those fundamentals, once you learn them, anybody can really put together, as long as you have a good sense of music taste and like you can put together a solid set for like 2 hours. Like if you only have to play 2 hours of music, you only have to show up with like six and like just play it right.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but a couple months ago there was a viral video of a TikToker, Charlie Jordan, DJing, and it was just ass.
Yeah.
It was just ass, but she had a full crowd.
Yeah.
Full crowd. And they had all these people like doing this the stitches where they would like take her video and like react to them, and it was just like, this is horrible. But she has a crowd. She's the huge crowd, you know, at the end of the day.
So if you bring that type of crowd, you get into bigger places.
Right.
And if you get into bigger places, you meet better people. And it's a whole system of like
self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, right. Like there's two ways to really make it these days as a DJ. And one of the ways is completely based off of talent, and that's music production. I always use the example of this guy named It's Murph, if you've ever heard Food for the Soul. He put out his content on TikTok, and he's a great music producer, like makes really good music. He got popular through that. And along with the music production, he's a great DJ. That's talented. James Hype, another example. That's talent. He's the, in my opinion, the most technical DJ in the world right now.
Okay.
But there's people, especially like bars and clubs in cities, that you're just going to look for, all right, who can bring in like a crowd? Who can bring in revenue? You're not necessarily like, if I'm a promoter and I don't really know a whole lot about DJing, like I'm just looking for whatever big name I can get, you know?
And the thing is, you know, at some level, a lot of the people that are going to be in that bar, pretty fucked up.
Yeah,
like, no, like, they don't really mind maybe that the quality's down, you know, but they came for the person.
Exactly. And I get it. Like if certain people come to town, even with like artists that just like sing, you know, like if certain artists come to town, I'm like, oh man, like I really want to see them. Like it makes sense. It's how like the entertainment business works. If you have a name, you have a name.
Do you think you've kind of done that for yourself? Like I know that you mentioned earlier you sell a lot of tickets because, you know, people at BC want to see you.
Yeah, but like...
obviously on a smaller scale than like Shaq, but do you think that you're getting to that point on some level?
Not really. Okay. I mean, in a sense, yes. Like I love my friends. Because my friends do...
No hate to you guys.
No. I love my friends. And the coolest part about it is, I genuinely love the people that will, like, text me or they'll ask me about, like, whatever event's coming up or, like, my friends will show up to a bar just because I'm DJing there. Like, that's cool. That's super, like, supportive and fun. But it's not at a point where I'm, like, I haven't met anybody that's like Jax. I don't have any music that I'm playing that's mine. The reason why people go to bigger names is because they're gonna go to a set to hear their music. Like I don't have any music.
Is that something you want to get into? Music? 100%.
It's something I'm trying to learn right now.
Because I remember a couple, maybe the first time you came on here, we talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
And at that point, you were like, not really. You know, I'm happy with where you're at.
Does that kind of change? I'm trying to learn it.
Okay. It is hard.
It's hard.
It's really hard.
And I did it for a while when I was younger. The same time that like the Art Street stuff was percolating, I started producing, and I did it for like 3 years. And I wish I carried that alongside the DJing, because then a lot of things would be a lot easier right now. But what I mean in like the sense of I got to get back to like the younger Jackson DJing just for fun is I'm getting tired of like some of the like the stuff outside of DJing that you have to do. Like I fully understand the like you have to like build up social media and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, I just love to DJ. Like I genuinely like I that's how I started. when I was young, I was like, this is super cool. I was super interested in it. It was like a dope hobby that I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Like whenever I just kind of wanted to like learn something new, I would learn something new. And I feel like a lot of the culture that's changed around like the social media stuff and a lot of the like now that I get like checks with it, it doesn't become a job because at the end of the day, I go to a club with some friends and I push buttons and I have a good time. It's right. never really going to be a job for me. Like,
but it is at some level. You know?
Yeah. Also, if you love it, it's not really a job.
Right.
But
at some level, everything does become a job. Yeah. You know, especially if you're doing those things that you don't want to do. I totally understand that. And that's not selfish to say. I know some people... this is the case with a lot of people on social media, too. People say it's a hard job. And at the end of the day, maybe you're not sitting at a desk for 8 hours a day, but, like, it is still turning something you loved into something that you'd kind of do for your well-being and, like, other steps you don't want to take care of. So it's not selfish to say that at all. So
I think it is.
Personally. Okay, fine. That's just my opinion. Yeah, but, you know, I'm sure other people think otherwise.
But, like, it's still super fun. I like where I'm at right now, but I have to get back to the whole, like, I'm excited to learn this, not like, damn, I'm frustrated when I'm learning this. And, like, that has, like, low-key been lingering over the last couple months.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do enjoy the essence of just, like, doing the task of DJing. Some of the
you
other
are
stuff,
the perfect like, candidate. You have no ulterior motives. You just want to do DJ. Yeah, exactly. You just want to DJ. Speaking of right now, you got 3 events coming up.
Yeah.
One literally just got confirmed.
Yes.
So
while we sat here.
Yeah, literally while we're sitting here.
Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning, though. St. Patty's Day. Saturday?
So St. Patrick's Day is on Sunday, and then Saturday, the 16th, I'm doing the 1 o'clock, 1 p.m. to 4 o'clock, the headline set slot for Game On. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
3 hour set too. Oh my, is it my birthday? This is beautiful. This is unbelievable. 3 hour set. That's perfect. Oh God. If you get over 3, it's just like,
you're overplaying
right,
this dude.
Yeah, man. If you bring 5 hours of music, what am I going to bring? My whole entire lap? Like I am going to bring my whole laptop, but like, it's just 5 hours. You have to bring a lot of music. You also get like, you gotta go to the bathroom, like it's a whole thing, you know? Things you don't realize.
Now
you're stuck in a box.
Now what?
For 5 hours.
Yeah.
No, but I got a 3 hour set, 1 p.m., 4 p.m. at Game On, and then that night I'll probably go home for a little bit, and then that night across the street from that Loco, newer spot in Boston. They're making it more into like a house scene, so I'm super excited for that. I get to like more.
That's a hole in the market. I'm shocked it took so long to get a house place going here. Because I know people will go. We were talking about this earlier. All the way to Province.
Yeah.
To do that, and that's like not a quick drive.
Yeah.
But Loco. Okay.
Loco. So it's the first time I'm playing there. It's with the same Love Thrill guys that like I started working with. They just got a partnership with them. So. I'm excited for that. I'm also excited to like just experiment with another house set because I've gotten more into house set as a house music as I get older. I'd still enjoy a little bit of everything. Like I think if you stick with one genre for like 3 hours, people just get bored.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
Unless you're doing some, you know, crazy shit.
Do you do some of that crazy like transitioning stuff?
Yeah. I'll try and find some new way I'll just try and be like somewhat creative with everything, and sometimes it'll be like the simplest transition ever. Sometimes it'll be one song that's like 120 BPM and the next song is like 90, and if you know anything about DJing, that's not gonna work. You don't need to mix, like, you know, like you need for them to be similar tempos, or you need to do something crazy with it,
right?
If
you know anything about music, a marching band mix and if you know a march won't
work. Exactly. So like sometimes when it doesn't add up and I don't want to be as a DJ, you just want to be like there and facilitating the night. Other times you want to be a little flashy with a transition.
Right.
It just depends. But like, sometimes I'll just kind of hit play and like fade out the like echo it out and just hit play and just let people have a good time. Other times I'm like, all right, let's try something.
Let's see what happens.
If you like play on words, like those are the most fun transitions. You find something that's like, my recent one has been, what is it? Got a Feeling by Black Eyed Peas, and then I Get This Feeling by John Summit. You can like loop it and kind of echo it into that, which is super fun.
Those are the ones people go crazy for.
Yeah, those are the ones you see on TikTok. Yeah. You know, when people are like, oh my God, And the crowd went mild.
Oh my god. With a couple of chicken emojis next to it.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But what about this one you just got? So you were telling me a little bit about it, but I don't.
Oh yeah, yeah. So next Thursday, Han, Viral Motions on Instagram just reached out to me. That's pretty cool.
That is cool. People are reaching out to you.
People reaching out to me. Yeah. That's cool.
You're talking about that's you don't cool. draw attention. You yeah, got come yeah, on yeah. here.
So I Han is it's a bigger club in Boston. It's more of an older scene. I've never been there. I've only like heard stuff about it, and I've seen some big names play there. But they offered me a set for next Thursday. So
that's going to be really
cool.
That
just got confirmed like right before we hit record on this. So.
Yeah, you were just like, you were like, I might have. Oh, never mind.
I do.
Yeah, no, we're good. Yeah, yeah, there we go. Let me get my fucking glasses on.
Yeah. And I literally, I put together my schedule. What I've started to do now, like, now that I'm like getting different connections with different places and different companies, I lay out a schedule of like, all right, these are the dates that I'm working. And then like sororities and like Northeastern people will reach out asking for formals and stuff like that. So I just have my March and April all planned out with like gigs.
Wow.
Which is super fun.
And is that completely full?
Right now, every Saturday is full.
Wow.
Wow. Every single Saturday is full.
You are pretty much giving up your weekends and free time for
See,
this.
See, that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. When I first started doing this, that's what I thought. And when I did work at certain places that people wouldn't go, that's what it becomes.
Right.
But when you are DJing somewhere that like is genuinely A, treats you right, but like B, treats your friends right and like just is a fun time in general, I'm showing up to these places with my friends, pushing some buttons, hanging out, and then leaving with some money in my pocket. Like
right.
that's perfect. That's unbelievable. And it's not really like I'm giving up a whole weekend. I think if it was at this point, like I said, like it becoming a job, if it was like that at this point, I would structure it completely differently. And I probably wouldn't be doing it the same I was right now. But because it hasn't become that, I like to do it, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fun.
No, at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't think about it that way. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people would feel solely because they have the, what's the word, the commitment to it. Like they've committed to do this thing that, you know, they're getting paid for whatever. They may not feel the same way, but it's really impressive you managed to keep that mindset of I'm still just showing up, I'm still pressing the buttons,
I'm still
doing it with
buttons.
My friends, I'm doing my thing.
I think one of the funniest things is DJs like having egos, like these big heads and whatever. Like I just, yo, like I show up to these places and I push buttons and I have a great time with it. And like, don't get me wrong, it's a lot deeper than that. Like once you actually look at the machine that I'm pushing the buttons of, it's like, whoa. Like,
right.
There is a lot to digress. There's a lot to dissect and a lot to figure out. But, like...
And this is 10 years of training.
At this, like, I just kind of... And people can learn it. It's not, like, it's not rocket science.
Mm.
People like to say that, like, DJs don't do anything. DJs do stuff.
You need the baseline.
It's a little difficult to do it once you actually want to take it to a certain level. But, that being said, when you show up to places and other DJs have these, like, crazy egos and cockiness about them, like, yo, man, like, have
like,
a good
night. I'm the DJ.
Just have a fun time.
Right.
Like, someone came up to me in Johnny's and was like, I'm the headliner tonight. I'm like, we're at a college bar. What are you headlining? What are you headlining? Like, he was like, are you DJing up here? I'm like, yeah. He's like, nah, man, I'm the headliner. And I was like, what? Like, nice to meet you.
Hey.
Jackson.
Pleasure's mine, buddy. Yeah. Yeah,
so I just like the vibe.
Well, it's good to hear you're having so much fun with it. We are running out of time, so we'll wrap it up real quick. But I'm really happy to hear you're having a great time with it, and it's good to hear that you're kind of like doing your thing still. You know, because I know a lot of people would like take it way more seriously. Like this is my job, but like if you can keep that mindset that this is what I want to do.
I'm kicking it.
I'm doing my thing. Yeah. Like that's a good mindset to have. Yeah. In all seriousness. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on, Jax. I really appreciate hearing that story.
No problem.
And send them off, Will.
Thank you to our listeners. Until next time.